This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton.
Good evening, Bahamas. And yes, you're listening to Maestro. That music was produced by Maestro. He is a local artist that resides in Baton community, and it talks about the trials and tribulation of the inner city person living in the country. Good evening and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentin O'Brien, aka Scrooge or Scroogey. Now they call me MP and Daddy. So it's my pleasure to be your host on Guardian Radio 96.9 on this wonderful station on this wonderful Friday. You can text us, powered by BTC at 422-GR96. And you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Our producer tonight is none other than Mr. Ali Roll. So, you know, he is the one who controls the airwaves to make sure that the calls come through on time and to make sure that we get a good message out there and that we have good callers that calls into the show that are very positive and concerned about their country. I want to say a very wonderful evening to everyone who listens to Guardian Radio and those who tune into all the shows and those who take the time out to listen to this local show that comes on every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio. And it's my pleasure to be a host. I just want to say that I am very proud to be able to be on the airwaves to make a difference in my country. I know many people who listen to the show and who know me personally didn't know I was that involved in the development of our country. I have been involved in many major programs that have been introduced with different government over the course of 25-year period, where I have given my input on how we can better the lives of those who are less fortunate in the country, how we can deal with crime, how we can develop a community where we can have productive citizens. And I have continued to do that. And I just am happy that Guardian Radio allowed me to let the general public and those who live around the world who listens to Guardian Radio to know that there are persons in the country who are just committed to making their community and country a better place, and that they do a lot of work that goes unchecked. But Guardian Radio allowed me to have a slot on airwaves to talk about the progress, the challenges, you know, and solutions to our country's problem. And I want to say to all of management staff and the owners, I really appreciate it because it has made a great change in the country. So I just want to say thank you. And to all the listeners, I want to say thank you. Today's topic, we're going to talk about Prime Minister Hubert Minnis saying that we lost 3 years to crisis. We talked a little bit about the government to demolish illegal shanties across New Providence. And I guess they already started an article. We'd like to have our input on that. And then we talked a little bit about the vaccine, you know, China cry shame on the U.S. for hoarding vaccine. In other words, they're saying that it has not been distributed at our pace to the neighboring country. And China is making suggestions on them giving vaccine. So it seems to me like the superpowers who has this particular vaccine, I listened to one show today, six has been approved by the World Health Organization. And I guess that China has one of the very first vaccine because the academic started in China. They worked on the vaccine. I think has been working in China so far. But according to this new wave that is hitting the world, but it's still recommended. It's still recommended to actually take the vaccine. And I was listening to a show. I think it was one. And I think he said that, I think it's one, 20%, I think it's already about 20% of the 100% behemoths in the country have been vaccinated, and they're trying to get it to a herd mentality. And so far, many persons have been reluctant not to take the vaccine. And you can't blame people. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has encouraged people to get their get vaccinated. But, you know, over the course of the years, where there's so much false information and then there's the true information, people can decipher what is true and what is false. And many persons are not listening to the leaders of the countries no more, many countries no more, because so many lies have been shared to the general public over the years, and now it's reality and everyone's crying wolf. Wolf, you know, and we was looking for the wolf. We didn't see the wolf, but, I mean, it was there, but, you know, we just decided that, you know, we're going to use our own information because, you know, everyone has internet now, and the internet is tied to many different countries in the world, and many different information is given out in the world, and you could get a lot of false information, you could get a lot of good information, true information. But sometimes even the false and true, if you check from the beginning, you'd find out that the false part come to the end is actually true because you have to put all of the words and all of the segments together. You just can't listen in the middle. So many people have decided that, you know, they're not taking the vaccine. The Prime Minister is saying that, you know, we have to get back to making capital. In other words, we have to get back to business, open the business, get a tourist to... to reconnect with the Bahamas and et cetera. And in order to do that, there are certain protocols must be established, and the government of the Bahamas is trying to find many ways on how they can actually make it more accessible for visitors to visit the country and also make it more for Bahamians to make sure that we are vaccinated so that we can get back to work. But the government is backing off its stance now of mandatory vaccination. Many companies are also backing off it. The government never mentioned it, but they was making reference and people were saying that they were going to make it mandatory. And now they take the stance and say it's not mandatory. Even the World Health Organization, some of them are saying that it should not be mandatory. So I guess now that many businesses that required it are not requiring it no more. So we're going to see how it goes. But many persons are afraid because they have heard a lot of rumors about COVID-19 entirely. And they've decided that before they take it, they want that 20% or the 30% of Bahamians who live in the country to take it first. And they're going to watch to see if they turn into a zombie and see how it affects them. And then if there's no collateral damage, many persons say they would take it. So till then, I think we're going to see a slow progress of vaccination across the country and in the country because persons in the inner city communities are not going to get vaccinated. You could walk the streets and ask them to Providence and you ask persons if they would like to go get a vaccinated shot. They say not on their life. They're going to take bush medicine and et cetera. So you're not going to see an increase in persons going to get the vaccinated shot. We're going to have a slow pace. It's going to be a long, long time for the Bahamas to get the herd immunity, if we're going to ever get the herd immunity, because right now, a lot of persons across the country are saying they're not going to take the vaccination shot. They don't care how the authorities or the government say it's safe. Well, from the information they're receiving across the world, they're saying that they're just weak. Oh, yes. So we just want to give a little insight on that. And I feel that the superpowers that has the particular vaccine that has been approved, those six that has been approved, listening on Warren McCartney's show today earlier, the powers to be seems that they are trying to dictate the countries to force them to, I think, follow protocols, and then they would decide to give the vaccine. Or it's a competition between the superpowers, and we're trying to find how we can work with either China or the U.S. You know, we're working with the U.S., you know. So we're trying to find out where we go with China, but China and the U.S. are in a disagreement right now. There are two superpowers. One is a reigning superpower. One is an up-and-coming superpower. And what you have now is they're fighting against one another to have an impact on the Bahamas. And it's going to be a back and forth. So we're like the guinea pig, so we got to be very careful. We got to be very careful. Okay, so that's it for that. I want to talk about government to demolish illegal shanty towns on Arsenal Providence. I just want to send a message out there to everyone who lives in the country, the Bahamas, that you know many things have been said about Bahamians. I listened to interviews in Abaco. I saw some Haitian nationals, and they're saying that Bahamians don't want them in the Bahamas. You know, I could understand, and I feel their pain. You know, you're in a country that you have a better chance of surviving in. You have a better chance of feeding your children. You know, you have a better chance of having a future here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And I know that a lot of persons are displaced. A lot of people are hurting in the country. And when I saw it, you know, I kind of scratched my head, you know, and I was sympathetic, you know, and I understand their pain and suffering, what they're going through. But at the same time, we have to look at the infrastructure that is being built that are not healthy or is a community to grow up kids or to grow a family in, because of the close proximity of the houses, no proper running water, no electricity, and if there's electricity, it's illegal electricity, and if there's a well, you know, it can't get polluted, and then we have that that disease that has been around a very long time with the mosquitoes, with dirty water, and etc. So we have to be very careful here in the country on how we allow persons to come and build without proper paperwork. You know, when I saw that, you know, I just like to say this. Persons who have been living in the country, you know, who came here in the Bahamas and who have been living here for over plus 20 years, 30 years, I think they should have been sorted by now, because the government has failed to properly do due diligence and to finding out if they're illegal here in the country. And if time has passed where they have avoided capture or custody, then if they've been living here for a certain amount of time, then I think there should be something that the government can do to make sure that they get some type of documents to reside here in the country. And I'd also like to say this to them also. You know, when they say we don't want Haitian nationals here in the country, I just want to be frank that Haitian nationals are brothers and sisters. But we just have a hard time here in the country, you know. We are trying to develop our country, you know. Our country. I mean, it includes all races who became Bahamian citizens in our country, not one particular person. And we are trying to fight for land. We are trying to fight for empowerment. We are trying to fight for change in our country. And then we are overburdened with persons, you know, illegally entering the country, settling down in the country. And this is a burden on us because our resources are spent trying to find ways and methods to stop the illegal entry in our country. And so it's a problem. It's a problem for the Bahamas. It's a problem for many other countries in the world. And when we hear that, so we like to say to those who are leaving Haiti to come to the Bahamas, you know, if you have no intentions of coming where you can be documented, what I mean documented, that means if you're coming through the back door illegally, then what do you expect us to do as citizens who abide by the law here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to just let it increase in the country and put more burden on our healthcare system, and then it'd be so much that it'd be a burden to me, you, and everyone in the country. So we have to make sure to send a message that those who are attempting to come to the Bahamas go to the right channels. We like to say those who are giving out paperwork at the Ministry of Immigration to do their background check and to make sure that any documents that are processed, that giving people Bahamian citizenship, make sure that it's legit, because the problem starts at the immigration office who gives the stamp on many persons who are here legal and illegal in the country. And so we have to also bear in mind that the immigration department and the Justice of the Peace who signs these birth certificate, they all are responsible for persons getting status in our country. And this is one of the reasons they could ask for land in our country, because if they get the documents stating that they are Bahamian. Now, again, I'm just saying this. We all are brothers keepers, but there's laws and regulation. If you do something illegally to obtain documents, then it's against the law. But persons get it illegally, they stay in the country, and they use that as a way to claim that, you know, they have rights to the country. But you can't blame them if our immigration department is going to give them paperwork. You can't blame them if they sneak in the country and the authorities don't do a background check and they're allowed to roam the country for over 30, 40 years, then yes, they are entitled, you know. And it's sad for us in the country because it makes us seem like we're the bad guy. But we're not the bad guy. We're doing these things because it's the right thing to do. I think that if you're going to push down people's houses, even though the government has the right to, because they are there illegally, and the government has given notice, I think the Deputy Prime Minister, Bannister, has done a fantastic job as to give out information to when they're going to demolish the shantytown, so they're giving residents time. I think many residents probably don't have nowhere to go. I don't know if the government of the Bahamas can assist those who are displaced or homes going to be pushed down, because at the same time, we understand that many persons might have been staying here for so many years and they don't know no other place but the Bahamas. So it could be a problem as us being humanitarian towards persons who are staying here, and we have to make sure that in our best ability that even though they might have broken the law, they're still here in the country, they're not going back to Haiti, then we have to try find deep down in our heart and how we can find a solution on how we could assist those persons. And persons who are coming to the country, please, you know, you can't come to the country illegally and then cry and say the Bahamian people don't want you here. Think about this for a minute. If Valentino Brown was to leave from here and jump on a boat and illegally land in Haiti or Venezuela, and I hide for 10, 20 years in the country, and I own a piece of land, and I start to squat on this land, what you think is going to happen to me? What you think the Venezuelans going to do to me, and what you think the Haitian nationals going to do to me who live in Haiti? They're going to say I'm from the Bahamas. They're going to say I have everything in the Bahamas, you know? And they're going to tell me this is not my land, so get off. And the Venezuelans would do the same thing to me, because, you know, we kind of lost our identity. We believe the land is ours, and that it's not our brothers and sisters own. But it's not our fault. It's the European nations who gave us his name Bahamas, gave us his name Haiti, gave us his name Jamaica, gave us his name Trinidad. And they're the one who put the immigration laws in place so that we can attack each and every country that we reside on and make it a special place and make it a beautiful land. So that's what we're doing. We're protecting our country. And we're also harboring our brothers and sisters. But at the same time, we have to protect our country, even from ourselves. You know, so I don't think that the Miami people don't want Haitian nationals here in the country, because it's impossible for us not to want something that is here and it's not going nowhere no time soon. We have persons of Haitian nationality who are in the immigration department, who are in the police department, who are in the defense force department, who are politicians, who are pastors. So the notion is not going nowhere, no time soon. We just have to get to the problem. And the problem is illegal immigrants. See, we need to decide on when we're saying Haitian nationals or illegal immigrants who are coming from Haiti to the Bahamas. We have to set a standard. So when we're saying illegal immigrants, we should be saying persons like in Abaco, where we saw on the news where Haitian nationals who left Haiti looking for a better life, left Haiti, landed in Abaco illegally, and then sneaked on the island and then started to squat. As we saw a big bus on TV where Haitian nationals setting up to build a home. But actually, the bus was set up like a home, so they're just getting ready to move in. When the government of the Bahamas stated that, no homes should be erected because it has been designated a no-building zone. So we have to decide those persons are illegal immigrants. Do the laws apply for Fred Smith when he's talking about the Haitian national? Is he representing this set, or are you representing the set who were here, who are stagnated for the last 40 years in the country? See, we have to find the separation. Because if he is defending the set who were in the bus, then that can't be, because he himself is breaking the law. He himself is breaking the Constitution. And I understand that he is a great man, he's a humanitarian, he fights for rights of the less fortunate in the country, those being held in custody at the detention center, those held in prison. Yeah, he speaks on those matter, but he speaks less on those matter, and he speaks more on the immigration matter concerning the Haitian national that he represents. So it needs to be a balance, and many persons are really upset with QC Fred Smith. And the only reason why, because he seems to be one-sided, you know. He's not two-sided where he speaks on certain matters. Yes, he's a great humanitarian, and he speaks for the rights of those who don't have no voice, and he gets the job done. But he's bringing a lot of divide in the country because, you know, you're saying you're for Bahamians. You're saying you're representing Haitian nationals who are displaced in the country, or human rights. But at the same time, you're dividing the country. You need to speak in a manner that we can understand your concern, not to force your concerns on us. So we have to be very careful with that. I got two comments. We got you. The Haitian Bahamians are helping the illegal immigrants. And the situation, why don't the churches, the Haitian people make room for or have somewhere for their people to stay? Well, I would agree on this message coming through. There are Haitian Bahamians who got their citizenship and they have family in Haiti and they want a better life for them person. So the funds they accumulate here in the Bahamas, they use that as a way to get their family members and friends here from Haiti here illegally in the country, and also sets them up to get status here in the country. And we have to be very careful about that. And this is one of the reasons we're talking now, because we have to understand this is what's going on. If you listen lately, Haitians, those who are coming here illegally. I'm talking about on the ships now, leaving Haiti and coming here, they are illegally. Those who have been here like 30 years or so, they are entitled to some type of paperwork, like I said, because our authorities have not done their full investigation. They have been living here for 20, 30 years. There's nowhere in the world we could get rid of them. So we have to find ways to accommodate those persons. And we have to be very careful about Haitian behemoths who are using this opportunity to get themselves rich also, because many persons are desperate to get to the Bahamas, and from here they can get to the U.S. and et cetera, and up to New York. So it's a big money-making business out there, okay? Big money-making business out there, and we have to be very careful because people are saying one thing, we don't want them here, but we have brothers who are of Haitian descent who are using their expertise and the funds that they've accumulated over the years here in the country to smuggle in their loved ones, friends, and et cetera. So we have to be very careful, very, very careful. Okay, I get one more message, let me see. I think so. All right. Okay. So that's good. So it's now 6:57. And I think the minister, what's that? Let me comment on what the minister, Deputy Prime Minister says. Deputy Prime Minister Bannister dismisses criticism from UN human rights expert. He said, yeah, Public Works Minister Desmond Bannister dismissed calls for United Nations human rights experts to halt the demolition of the farm shantytown on Arbuckle and said plans are in place to begin a similar exercise on New Providence very soon. In a statement issued Friday, the UN called on the government to halt further demolition in the farm shantytown. I'm going to page 4A. Let me see if I can find that. 4A. Let me see. Looks like I ain't even get for. Boy, where it is. Yeah. All right. Yeah. 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 Okay. PLP Rave Davis. Demolition of illegal unoccupied structures in a farm shantytown on Arbuckle started last month. On May 4th, Minister of Works, Public Works Desmond Bannister said the demolition of unauthorized structures. When he means unauthorized, unauthorized means the government has given a statement stating that no homes should be built on this land. And so these houses that you see were erected were done illegally. There were no permits. There were no permission given. You understand? So that means that they were not supposed to be there in the first place. Okay? And we have the United Nations saying to the Bahamas government that they should halt, you know, and it should be done in a humanitarian manner. And I would say that too. I would say yes, we can do evictions, should be done in a humanity manner. I don't know how it can be done in a timely fashion, but the government's on a time frame, so I think they're gonna have to try and find some alternative on how they're gonna accommodate those persons who they evict and demolish houses that were not supposed to be there in the first place. So, wow. Anyway, so let me see if I get it right. The farm was set to continue demolition. And he said, once demolition in that shantytown is completed, the team will move on to other shantytown. A 2018 Supreme Court injunction prohibits the government from demolishing shantytown structures that had already been constructed and prohibited anyone from constructing erection or altering unregulated shanty town buildings anywhere in the Bahamas. So you see, if they can get there and they build a structure, they can have rights. Unless the government overthrow the rights, and then Fred Smith, QC, knows this, and he then used these as injunctions to stop the government. Is it right? Is it wrong? You think about it. Yeah, so Wanastaw also stated that the UN is talking, but do they want us to end up like Haiti? And when he said end up like Haiti, I know some parts of Haiti are very beautiful, but if you look at some of the rivers that are downtown, you'd see that the river is filled with garbage in the river. And there's a lot of debris, abandoned cars, broken down homes, and et cetera, in the streets. So I guess that what he's talking about, tires everywhere, garbage everywhere in certain cities. And I guess that's what he's talking about. And now we begin to face, because the Bahamas looked like it was headed that way. We had a lot of derelict vehicles, thousands all over the country. We had a lot of abandoned houses. We still do. Abandoned houses, overgrown yards, trash in the yard that we all put there. Our neighbors from the next door put it in the next yard, et cetera. And everyone started using the yard and cleaning up their yard. And they would take the trash and put it in the yard down the road, not knowing that the yard you're putting it in is where all the buildup of the trash is going to be, and that's the yard is going to spread all the centipedes, that's the yard is going to spread all the mosquitoes, that's the yard is going to spread all the roaches. So they're going to spread out, and they're still going to come down there where you live, in your yard, in your house, et cetera. And we're taking a stance now to clean up the Bahamas. You can see now many MPs, Travis Robertson is cleaning up the bay in the Grantstown community. I've been cleaning up the Grantstown community that I reside in for the last 10 years. If you see the transformation in Lewis Street, H Street, and Taylor Street area of the work that I've been putting in other persons who have been assisting me, you would see that we got rid of a lot of cars, a lot of abandoned houses. You're seeing now where we are building complexes are being built. Lenahan, Bahamas, we're seeing the Urban Renewal Center. We're seeing my restaurant being built. We're seeing many residents in the area who listen to the show and are going back in the community now and fixing their houses. We're seeing many poisons across the Mason Addition areas getting their yards cleaned up. So the government also is assisting. I'd like to say to all the opposition members who themselves are doing their cleanup program in their Pacific community that they're running for, I'd also like to give government credit for actually extending the cleanup program that is going on now. Travis Robertson and private people are assisting them. Private people, families assisting me in my indoors in the Grantstown area. Glenisana Martin is getting some work done in her community. Konka Leole, who was on the show last week, he has been an advocate for cleaning up Bahamas for many, many years, and he has been doing a fantastic job. And I guess his word is resonating many Bahamians' ears. And many places now are starting to clean up their yard. And I want to say thanks to all of the residents of the country now who are fixing the houses. I want to say to the residents and family members who have these houses that are being abandoned, they are family houses. Brothers and sisters can't get along. Cousins can't get along. The house is there. The house is rotten down. It's serving no one, no purpose. Can you guys just please get along and work together and see if you could repair the house and give it to your sister or your cousin, to someone in your family? Because you don't like me. You'd rather let our grandmother or our mother house or our daddy house go down the drain because we don't like one another. Siblings and family members don't like one another. And that's why there's so many abandoned houses across Nassau, New Providence. You know, many places in the country now are looking for some place to stay. So we need to find ways on how we can work together. All of these houses that we've seen in Camprod, there's so many abandoned houses in Camprod that can be repaired and turned into low-cost homes, or could be a home for the family member who have no home. But we just have to get along with one another more closely and understand that we have to build a country. You know, we don't have to always fight down one another. You know, we need to stop that. The majority of these homes that you see in these communities, family members own them. And like I said, cousins and brothers and sisters and aunties and nieces can't get along, and they will let the house rotten and rake down. and become a sawhead and serves no purpose. So I'm encouraging persons who live in Bantan. I'm encouraging persons who live in Fox Hill. I'm encouraging persons who live in Camp Road. I'm encouraging persons who live in Grandstand. I'm encouraging persons who live in Dantan. If you own a lot and you don't want to do nothing with it, sell it to somebody who will take the time out to put a nice home or business there, you know. I just want to send a message. Oh, and neighbors, if you see a yard that is dirty and it's causing problem to you, call the minister or call Public Works and ask them to assist you. They could push down all those and remove all those old cars on the side of your lot. We're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yes. It's very good to be back to the inner city with boss man, Brother Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this Brother Amos.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
Yes, sir. Now, I need people to understand, because they don't hear me call often. I already on record of saying, this show is my favorite show in the entire Bahamas talk show circuit.
Wow.
A person who don't even call this show often.
Wow.
Yes, it ain't about what I hear, what I'm going to tune in to listen to as it relates to you. But it's, when I say this is my favorite show, I'm talking in regards to how Guardian Radio, shout out to Guardian Radio executives and those who's responsible for you being on this. The point what I meant was, this is an opportunity for the common voice to be heard. And when I say the common voice, I'm speaking in reference to you or myself and others who have not matriculated to the college or university.
Yes, sir.
So we don't have the thoughts pattern like others, you know.
Yes, sir.
And we cannot articulate our words like them. But experience is the best teacher.
Yes, sir.
And so I love this show and I respect you and what you're doing. But as much as I respect you, equally, I respect the Guardian Radio executives who look at you back then, not now, back then. If you think you look good now, or let's put it this way, I said even better now. If you think you do not look as good as you should be looking thanks to COVID-19, how you think you was looking back then? This is what Guardian did for me by giving it to you. See, that is why I like to rejoice and celebrate with others.
Yes.
Because I didn't get the show, but my brother got it.
Yes, sir.
And he's not selfish. He don't talk for 2 hours or talk for an hour and a half and then let people call in at the last. No. That's what I meant when I say this is my favorite show. Because this is the only person in the entire Bahamas, Brother Scrooge,
yes,
who has the unique individual experience that you have. That's my point.
Yes.
You have a unique, acute, okay,
yes,
experience that is yours, that is you, and you'll be surprised from your experience how and how far who you can teach and how far they can learn what they're going to learn from you, right from over the air, halfway around the world.
Yes,
that's what I meant. Guardian Radio, I thank you, ma'am and sirs, for giving this young man a chance and for all of the different shows y'all have that y'all allow Amos to come on the radio and try to stay focused as a Bahamian. So, Bahamian citizens and sovereigns, God loves us, and we're not going to give up our faith in God. Call me what you want. My faith is in God and God's people who will trust in God. If you ain't gonna trust in him, you ain't his person.
Yes.
You ain't his person. You either with Jesus gathering or you're scattering, Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's what I meant. No disrespect.
No, sir.
God loves the sinner, not the sin. We accept the sinner prayer and praise and worship, but not no edifying of no sin, no darkness.
So.
Because our scriptures there to help us. So I'm going to leave now. I just wanted to share those words with the Bahamian people and let us all know how special they are to Amos Jr. Miller.
Yes,
Amos Jr. Miller, say thank you, Bahamas,
yes,
for allowing me to find myself again. When pressures came up against me, when the enemy came up against me and I didn't know what was going on, and I was lashing out and having to be arrested and then, what you call it? checked out for bipolar and all this. This is what y'all did for me. Y'all give me a chance to speak the truth. Yeah, I didn't keep it in, and I didn't thought my problem was sufficient for me to go and put on somebody else by robbing them, raping them, killing them, or stealing their things. I suck it up and said, whatever I'm going through, I am the cause. I am the cause. And I did not run for my enemy. I didn't run for my weakness. I run with my weakness to the light, meaning to the airwaves, and let the world know what kind of darkness had me bound. And when I brought my darkness to the light, I was set free by the light.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, Brother Scrooge.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Amos. A wonderful guy. Yeah, he's very passionate, and I want to thank you for the good word of advice. And yes, I am truly amazed and happy that God in Radio gave me this opportunity. And I quite matured, you know, when I first started out, you know, I can remember I can hardly talk on the radio, you know. It's good to be a co-host, you know, but when you have your own particular show, it was parry up, but eventually I got it. And then I say, well, how I could have an interesting show with all the life experiences what I had, dealing with prime ministers, dealing with filthy rich persons, dealing with IDB Bank, you know, giving them great ideas on how I can bring that information to the airwaves and that experience. And you know what? Like Emma said, you know, many of us didn't went to college. We don't have that kind of speech like some of our colleagues and use the big words. But everyone tells me that when I speak, they can understand me. Say the rich can understand me, the poor can understand me, because I put it together where all walks of life can understand the way I'm speaking. So that's very good. And I want to say to everyone out there, I'm very humble that, you know, you appreciate me and that people see that I'm sincere. They know I'm not about a political party. They know I'm about country. I'm not about getting rich. I'm not about getting popular. The thing is with popular or getting rich, God has given you those stuff. So just like Amos could give me a little thumbs up, other persons give me a thumbs up. So that's how you get popular. You know, you don't go looking for it. Persons out there who see the inner you and see that you're true, then when they come up to you and say, wow, brother, you make a complete U-turn and you are something special, you're unique. You know, when I tell my son, I say, you know, I can tell you some of the story. Let me just say this real quick. Some guys who involved in illegal activities, now our family, and they would hear me on the radio, and they would tell their son, say, you know, who getting an altercation, they say, you see the young man there? Say, he was one of the roughest and toughest gangsters you could ever imagine. And now look at him. Look how he's making big change for his country. You know, and they use me as a way to reach their friends or their wife, you know, they'd be telling their wife, some police, like who I knew, like Ashton Greenslade, who now is the senior officer in Freeport. He arrested me many years ago, and Fox saved my life. You know, I had a gun on me, and they were seeking me, and they got me, and I had a firearm, and he saved my life, Ashton Greenslade. He's now the senior officer in Freeport. And he told officers not to shoot me, which they had all right to shoot me because I was carrying a legal firearm. I just fired this gun at two guys in Mason Addition. So I was a threat to society. And if I didn't lose my life, the police would have been in the right because I had no rights to try to take someone else's life. And, you know, he always talked about my transformation. And I have always said to myself that if I could get my mindset changed and if I could use that rage I had in me, because I was not afraid of nobody. I wasn't afraid of the police. I wasn't afraid of the baddest man. I don't care who he was. He didn't move me. In fact, I wanted to have a tussle with him, you know. I wanted to have a tussle with the roughest and toughest. And, you know, I used that energy what I had for the gang life. Now I use that to bring positive change when I sit down with ministers in any ministry, the Ministry of National Security, the Office of the Prime Minister, and I use that same energy I had, that boldness, that not being scared, and I look them in the eye and I say, hey, if we do this, we could see a change in the country. So I just want to say to everyone, I want to say a warm thank you to everyone who listens to the show and appreciate me, because I appreciate you. And I hope that we can continue to have a wonderful conversation, and the conversation can lead to inspiring persons in the country to go and make a difference in their respective community. And one of the very first things you can do, if there's a yard that is overgrown with garbage or derelict vehicles, you can call your MP, whether it's a Free National Movement MP or a member of the opposition who is vying to be upcoming elected official in that particular community. You can reach out to them. They are on Facebook. You could see them. You could get their Facebook number. You could get their number. And you could call Ministry of Works to come and remove the derelict vehicles or to get rid of some rats. You have to do this, Bahamian people. And the country is looking better. You know, as I ride through Bahamian, Grandstand, Mason Edition, and et cetera, you could see the work that has been doing by many different persons, the government, MPs, those who are running to become MPs, the opposition, public citizen, private citizens. Everyone is cleaning up right now. And I want to keep on encouraging the general public, if you own a home in the country that is a family home, that is being run down, no one is using it because you don't like one another, please consider this. Hey, help your family member and go and fix the house. You understand? Instead of leaving it there to rotten, because your great, great, great grandmother, you don't know what they had to do and how many clothes they had to wash, or how many clothes they had to sew, or how many food they had to cook, you know, and how many toilets they had to clean with their hands for you guys to have a house, a roof over your head. So take this in consideration. Let bygone be bygone, and let us as a country now get our country back by cleaning up. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Minister of Public Works, the Honorable Desmond Bannister, the Deputy Prime Minister of the country, saying this to the, I think it's to the UN, human rights, you know, that if we're going to let the bombs become like Haiti, and he's talking about close proximity houses, you know, we just had a fire, enormous fires the other day, and in the close proximity with the garbage in between the houses, that is a recipe for disaster. So definitely, we have to consider how we let homes be constructed. We got to say to ourselves that each home should be 50 feet apart, you know, with a tree on the side of it, etc. You know, because we can't have homes close together, and we can't have homes running with electric wire to electric wire, from one house to the next, a running electric wire. No, we can't allow that. That's against the law. It's prone for disaster. So I guess that what the minister's saying, as hard as that can be, we have to keep our country prestigious and clean. We have to keep it a law-abiding country where we live up to the rules and regulation in our country. And we have to apply the rules and regulation in our country in order for us to go to the next step. Ain't the country looking good now getting clean up? So please, report persons who are bringing trucks of garbage in the community. The property that's cleaned on 2 days ago, then you see a guy who lives somewhere out the community or in the community, he comes and he drops trash. Call 919, take the license plate and report it so that the authorities could find him and then let him remove it and give him a fine. Okay? There's no time to be playing now. You know, we have to clean up the Bahamas. You know, you see all those rivers with all those garbage and stuff in it, man, and in Port-au-Prince, in the river, and some and one African country. Filthy. Puerto Rico, I think it was Dominican Republic, they had a shield of just long garbage in the river, you know? And the boats were there. You know, we can't allow our countries to get like that. All of our side corners were full of cars. You know, we have to clean up the Bahamas. So I want to give a thumbs up to all of the MPs, private organization, Conkaleo, who is using his platform to let the world know and let the Bahamas know and let the Bahamas government know to clean up the Bahamas, to keep up the good work. Okay. So we have here, we're closing in on the later half of the show. This is our last segment of the show, and we're going to talk about the prime minister, we lost 3 years to crisis. Now, the prime minister just came out to say what all Bahamians said. They wasn't feeling the government. And he came out and said, because I guess he has finally realized that nothing was trickling down to the Bahamian people. And like I would want to say to the powers to be, since I'm sending the message to and responding to a comment, I would like to say that, yes, we had Hurricane Dorian. We had a hurricane before that that affected, Ragged Island. We had a couple natural disasters here, and then COVID-19. And, you know, the prime minister stating that he kept on course with running the country instead of going along with many of the programs in the country. And that's what surprised me most about it, because even though the prime minister admitting this, I don't know if you're supposed to feel sorry for him not being able to get the programs up and running the way it's supposed to be. And I guess he's talking with the Overland Initiative. I guess he's talking with the small businesses. I guess he's talking about the low-cost homes and et cetera. First of all, when the prime minister said we lost 3 years to crisis, prime minister, you lost 3 years of crisis because you didn't use your arsenal. Your arsenal was when two former prime ministers, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Hubert Alexander Ingram, and then former Prime Minister Barry Gladstone Christie, when we had the Carol Clark, and it damaged the family island of Barbaco and Freeport. We had two former sitting prime ministers. Mind you, we, the taxpayers, are still paying both of these former prime ministers. So it ain't like we're gonna get them free money. We're still paying Hubert Alexander Ingram, and we're still paying the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie. And I think their paycheck that they get from their pension of serving as two-term prime minister is close to $150,000 per year. These two gentlemen have just recently left office, and they asked you personally if they could assist in any way to help with the hurricane relief effort. They have more experience than you. And it would have been a plus to you, the Honorable Prime Minister, to have two former prime ministers who knows more about natural disasters and running the country than you. It would have been a plus to you. You could have focused. You could have said, okay, Ingram, I know you was the one who signed all the hurricane disaster. Bills in the country. So why not you spearhead the disaster relief program in Abaco? And then you could say to the Prime Minister, Perry Gladstone Christie, would you like to partner with Ingram on this, or would you like to help spearhead the progress of Rocket Island, for instance? You know, I don't have the time right now, but I need someone to experience, and I'm going to give you a position as the former prime minister, and I'm going to give you all the resources, and all you have to do is give me the updates, and we're going to get this country going. And in the meantime, I'm going to work on the Overdale Initiative, because to my knowledge, see, I ain't the prime minister. The prime minister came in office after 2012, 2013, 2014. At that particular time, I was working with the former government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas under Ms. Roll, Linda Virgil Roll. She was the director of the Urban Design Lab, and this program was constructed in the partnership with the IDB Bank, University of the Bahamas, Dugald Liggins, the National Art Gallery, Antonio Roberts, and many other persons who were put together to come up with a strategic plan on how we can find a solution on how we can empower persons, how we could find ways to, produce low-cost homes in the community, green space, find a way how we could design a cool spot that can be designed from Bay Street to accommodate persons over Market Street, East Street, to get the tourists to come over there. They also was deciding on the way how they could do a broad walk from Ahwaukee straight down past Policy Dock, where the IDB Bank is. And all this was taken into consideration, and we came up with low-cost homes design. We had students from the University of Austria who came down, sponsored by the Bahamas government. The research work, I think, cost $1.5 million that was done. And we did it. We finished it in, I think, 2015, 2016. We made the presentation at the National Art Gallery on Nassau Street. Amanda Coulson was the sitting director. We had the Office of the Prime Minister with all of the partners there. And this was a perfect plan. This is a plan to deal with crime, poverty, sexual abuse, green spaces, deals with empowerment, low-cost homes, like I explained to you. And that was completed in 2015. And that's called the Urban Design Lab. And that was a Latin America plan on how we can come down in the Bahamas, working with the IDB Bank, on how we can find and eradicate poverty. Because I was one during a seminar with the IDB Bank, and I was explaining my life and the lives of many persons who I name and give statistics on the prison rate, on why young men are committing crime, why the community, it is the way it is, no investment, and what we can do to change that environment. So yes, we did the Urban Design Lab. Many persons were involved. The Office of the Prime Minister, 2012, 2013. Then the Progressive Liberal Party put it on the books. Then the Honorable Hubert Minnis became the opposition leader after Hubert Alexander Ingram stepped down. He made Dr. Hubert Minnis the opposition leader. From that, he was able to successfully become the prime minister of the country. And then he switched in there from the Urban Design Lab to the Urban Initiative. And the Urban Initiative, people, I want you to understand is this, deals with crime, deals with poverty, deals with empowerment, deals with low-cost homes, it deals with local government. All these components were a part of the program that we put together. In conjunction with all those, the University of the Bahamas, the IDB Bank, myself personally, and I'm the first partner, not the second, I'm the first partner of the Urban Design Lab, which now is the Overland Initiative. So not even the prime minister is the first person in the world. I was the first person in the world. And I was the one who was giving them input on the design of the program, okay? So the prime minister wasn't even there. But I give credit to the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas for initiating it, seeing that it's a worthy project and how it could transform the country. I think that if we did really push the Overland Initiative the way we supposed to push the Overland Initiative, we would have seen a reduction in crime. We would have seen more persons in have low-cost homes. We would have local government established where the community can be taking care of their respective community because they would have the resources necessary to make things happen in their community. You know, we talk about dialect vehicles. If we had local government would have been able to walk around the community, have persons to do survey, and then remove all these dialect vehicles. There's houses in the community that needed to clean down and probably rebuild. That's where local government would have come in. We would have been working directly with the minister of that community, but we would have been able to empower ourselves. We would have been able to put speed bumps in our community. We would have been able to have events year-round where we could invite the minister to come down and open the basketball tournament, open a church service, or open some kind of event that we are having in the community. And the minister himself would have been the one who's speaking in parliament on a budget so that we can be able to do all of this stuff. So when I hear the Prime Minister say we lost 3 years, first of all, he lost 3 years because he's the person he is. Me. He was supposed to have the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie. He's supposed to have the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis. I mean, Hubert Alexander Ingram, former Prime Minister. He was supposed to allow those guys to be a part of he was supposed to let those guys help on finding ways to assist those in Abaco and Freeport. And that is one of the reasons now he got stuck. And he said that he kept on course. So I guess when he kept on course with locking on the country, right? Locking on the country, saving lives. He stopped all the businesses in the country, put the whole entire Bahamas out of business, except those who were working for government. So government people were scraped. He put curfew on the Bahamian people. So many persons were going before the courts for various offenses from North Van Maas, from just going to the pump to get some water. And some was intentional, you know, so I think he did more harm than good because he said he stayed the course. And he said he himself admit that we lost 3 years to the crisis. So, sir, I don't know if the voters or those who are listening out there is really concerned or not if you lost 3 years, because poisons already was feeling that from day one. You might say, the Honorable Prime Minister, you might be saying we lost 3 years, but there are many Bahamian people in this country who have lost more than 50 years in this country and who have been suffering from previous administration to a previous administration to your administration now. You understand? So people are really, really mad. They're fed up. And they ain't listening to nothing what you have to say right now, because everyone knew that nothing was trickling down. You know, no one was feeling nothing. You know, and he locked down the country. You know, and I, Auntie Minnis, I, Auntie Brief, I just personally believe that leadership comes with a price. And I feel that once you take leadership, you're going to understand that there are persons out there in the country who are hurting so bad. So you look around the streets, you see how much people are getting putting out their house. You look how much people's lights are getting cut off. You look at how many persons now, like I said in the show, that a lot of petty thief is going to be going on. If you look on the internet, you could see where Bahamian guys, cars are parked and people yard. The camera on is broad daylight. The guys them thiefing the poison jet ski. The guys them coming in people yard with fence. They so desperate and stealing the people bumper. You notice to go in a yard where the people themselves are doing bad. But you are so desperate, you're going to go in this yard. And you're going to go to the poison and take off they tire. You're going to go in their hood and take out their battery, which costs more than $107. Boy, sir, or mister, you can imagine if those poison catch you. They done frustrated just like you. So all of this is the cost of the leadership, because now this is the cost of all this. You know, no work, so I got to go tea from a person who don't want nothing. They only get a little something, they just struggling. So you're going to prey on them. You know, you need that battery, so you can sell the battery to get $40. So you can buy one tank of gas, you know, buy one $5 worth of turkey, one rice, and one little corn. And then some people might need a little smoke, you know, and the girlfriend might need a little drink, like the yeast distress, you know. So, you know, all of this, you know, got to take into account. You know, so when the Prime Minister says that he could have the two former Prime Minister who are still being paid by the government of the country. So they're still being paid. So why not? You know, and the thing is, what surprises me about this whole thing is that Mr. Ingram picked the Honorable Minnis out of his whole cabinet. He picked Minnis over the Honorable Tommy Turnquest. You can imagine that. And he picked Minnis, and when both Perry and Hubert Alexander, both former prime minister, went on together to the current prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And they asked him, and he turned them down. Why would you? Why? You? Why? Because I's the prime minister now, and I don't want to have nothing to do with them. They have more knowledge than you. Probably you wouldn't be in this mess you're in now when you lost 3 years. And you're going to lose more. You know, because I don't believe there's nothing that the government of the Bahamas can do right now to persuade the Bahamian people to think otherwise. I'm not telling you the word PLP. I'm not telling you the word DNA. I'm not telling you the word nothing. I'm just saying that even if Menace could win the next general election, the people's mindset of being made up that the man has no intentions of helping the poor people. Because he's saying here, yeah, we lost 3 years, but he has been saying over and over that his government is working. Now, to come and contradict yourself goes to say what the people have been saying from day one. He more into the rich. And I want to send this message to the whole country. I deal with a lot of rich people in this country. All right? I'm a poor man. Right? By meeting them. And I always hear people say, the government always working with the rich people. Let me tell you all something, you know? Rich people in this country or international persons who are doing business in this country can only do business to the Bahamas unless you're a Bahamian lawyer. All right? And the rich people who comes to invest in this country, they always given the government options on how they could assist with some type of program in the country. Okay? But it's the government officials who receive this money and put it for the party. You know? Let's say Carnival Cruise Line comes to the Bahamas. And they make a suggestion. You heard that if they were to build, they would build some low-cost homes for the residents. Okay? So that's showing their sincerity and want to help the Bahamian people. And they always come with some type of good gesture. But you know, sometimes these rich people give to a lot of charity organizations in the country, and the person who they give the funds to never reaches, or trickles down. Never reaches. If you look at the pandemic that's been happening in the country, look how many civic groups and civil organizations, especially the Life of Key Foundation, Rotary Club International, and many persons who are part of those organizations, whether it's the Life of Key Foundation or the Rotary, many of them are white Bahamians. But look how much donations they have been given to Walter Henschel, the singing bishop, to Lenahan Bahamas, to the Bahamas government. They have been donating after donating, and they have been the ones who have been holding the Bahamian people up in this country. You know, so the rich people are in this country, they want to give back. It's just that they can't find enough trustworthy Bahamians in the country, when they're a politician or community leaders in the country, who they give funds to, and that they say to themselves, you know, I'm going to take a little something, and I'm going to give the majority to what I was supposed to give it to. So it ain't about the rich people in this country. It's about us and our leaders, who are the ones who have the signing documents to assist those rich person in the country. Because the rich person who comes to do business in this country, they don't know how our laws run. You don't know how our law run and how to get whatever is required. They have to have a Bahamian lawyer. And they have to have a Bahamian firm. You know? So we got to be careful when we're saying about the rich people this and rich people that. Those rich people be given so much donation in this country. It just like I say, it's be crooked, wicked Bahamians, especially wicked black Bahamians who receive funds from these people who come to assist because their heart is big. No one could tell me this. You know, Lenahan Bahamas, a foreigner, is the one who speaks on my behalf to get sponsors from around the world. The majority of people who donate to Lenahan Bahamas are persons from Life Key. They are one of about two or three black Bahamians who contribute during that pandemic, who are part of Lenahan Bahamas. But most persons who donate to Lenahan Bahamas, they are from either Life of Key, or they're from the Rotary, or they are a distinguished Bahamian family who wants to help. I just want to say that. So stop attacking the rich. You think it's the rich? It ain't the rich. Eh? We have the rich black man too. And we have the powerful politicians who hold all the strings. But we never want to talk about that part. You know? We never want to talk about that part. The rich people who we say, that's who the government suck up to. Yes, in some cases, they do. But there's laws and regulation, and they always want to give something back. Let me give you a good example. Recently, about 4 months ago, there was an article in the newspaper where I think they were doing an oil deal and the oil drilling company. And then there was a member of a particular government, member of a particular government party, and he was a representative for the government. And they said that I think they were supposed to drill. I read in the newspaper, and it was supposed to be like, I think, 27 million or et cetera to do to try and see if it really up. And then later on, the representative of the political party, he asked for additional $1 million. And then the person who was in charge of the expedition with the oil company say, no, it's not going to happen. We're not going to give you $1 million. You know, what you think he wanted $1 million for? He didn't want $1 million to give to the Bahamian people. He wanted $1 million to go to the party. See, when these rich people come here and they don't look to that person, that funds go to the party members. That don't go to the Bahamian public. And sometimes the donation that rich person gives to the party, he think it's going to trickle down. But they give it to the party. You understand? So, it's not the rich people. It's the people who signs the paper, which is our politicians, our legislators. They are the biggest problem in our country. You know, rich people has come big for us. Through this pandemic, they have been there for us. And I could speak for that firsthand. And they like to remain anonymous. See, the reason we don't know about them is because when you ask them to come on radio and say, but what you donate, they don't like that. They ain't like me and you who would give somebody some money. Oh, I give you this and I give you this $100. No, they give you $5,000 and they don't want you to talk about it. They give you a brand new car and they don't want you to talk about it because they say they give that to you because they give it to you from your heart. And that's the type of person they are. It's us who mess up. It's us who mess up. No rich person. It's us, our politicians, who are the ones, the middleman. They're the middleman. They're supposed to be the middleman for us. But the funds never come to the Bahamian people. It goes to the political party. Let me ask you all something then. Okay. Think about this. We all share a treasury break, right? All share a treasury break. But ask you a question. What is the weight of government? It has to be a network on how much money government has accumulated over the last 200 years in the country. Find out what the Obama's government is worth. Find out what the Progressive Liberal Party organization worth. And find out what the Free National Movement organization worth. And cat will hold your tongue. How could parties be worth? You know what that means? That means persons have been contributing money over the years. And they have it in a trust fund to keep the party going for election time. And people keep on donating. Find out what the party is worth. If you find out what the PLP worth, and you find out what the FNM worth, and then find out what the government of the Bahamas worth. So, when the Prime Minister talks about we lost 3 years to crisis, you lost 3 years to crisis, sir, when you had all the tools. You had the director, Linda Virgil Roll, I think that's her full name. You had Samantha Roll. You had Kermie Jones. You had a whole team who understand the program, how it could work. You could have let us partnership and be just give us the resources what we need. We could have been giving you briefing. And you could get all the glory. But you want all this. under your manifesto. One man can't build an island. All right? That's what the partnership agreement was about. See how long the Archbishop William Thompson Park took to be refurnished? It's still being repaired now. And it's been going on, what, 4 years for a park. 4 years and still ain't finished. Man, listen, I passed Centerville parking lot 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think 2 years ago. And you know where Royal Bank of Canada is up in Palmdale? Well, you remember they did some renovation on their parking lot. I watched equipment, and this is the difference between private and government. I watched equipment. At the same time, they were doing the government grant, Archbishop William Thompson Park on Blue Road and Market Street. They were repairing the parking lot of where Royal Bank is, the Palmdale Shopping Plaza. And they had there two tractors, two dump trucks, and a paver there. Right? Now, I went and looked at the government grant, Archbishop William Thompson Park, situated Blue Hill Road on Market Street. They had one tractor, one dump truck. The Palmdale Shopping Mall was completed in a time frame of about 4 to 5 months. Right? The Archbishop William Thompson Park has yet to be completed. One section has been finished, and I want, like I said, it's still better late than never, but a project like that could have been finished in 1 year if it was partnershipping. Partnershipping with your partners, community partners. That's what the Over the Initiative was all about. So when the Prime Minister, we lost 3 years to crisis, it's because he didn't allow the partnership to actually happen. And then shipping Linda Virgil to roll off to be the Director of National Insurance and sending Kermit Jones 1 year to China, and everyone who had a good insight of the Oberly Initiative were transferred out of the office. And then other persons were put in these important position, and they hold these position to understand the position. And all I hear is that many funds went missing from the Oberly Initiative because of persons coming in, and their heart was not under it. They saw an opportunity for them to put some money in the money bag for the party. And that's why many of the projects could not finish. Okay, according to my producer, we have to take a commercial break. So we'll be right back on Inside Inner City.
Sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy.
Grant, it was good to see you, but we've got to get home.
Yep, we've got to let the dog out.
Speaking of dogs, you won't believe who I saw the other day.
Who?
Honey.
Remember Anton, Jeanette's oldest boy? The one with the dogs.
With local claims managers, we pay your motor claims fast. We're like a goodbye at your granny's that doesn't take 30 minutes.
We really got to get going.
So soon?
CG Atlantic Agents. Insurance, health, pensions, life. Good like that. As Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 Hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. Now they call me MP or Daddy. I'm your host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that comes on every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. We are very incisive. We have a lot of insights on many of the topics in our country and solutions for the country. And to be fair, I would like to read the Prime Minister's word on why we lost 3 years to crisis. So I just let read it real quick because we have 10 more minutes. So the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, and let me just say this, for me as a citizen, I know you could do better because me, as a guy who lives in the inner city community, look what I have contributed to my country, and I'm a poor man. Okay, even I find myself working with persons who I didn't even like, not because I don't like them, it's just that they didn't like me, but they have something to offer. But we have a mutual understanding because they understand where I'm coming from. They understand regardless of how the situation is. They know my intention is pure. So that's why so much people is working with me because they know deep down inside they might be jealous of me just because of me being on radio or just being popular. And many persons are mad at me for that, which, you know, I don't take the popularity. No way. It doesn't mean nothing. I walk the street bare feet. I'm still the same person in Lewis Street. You know, I'm not changed. I sweep. I cut grass. There's nothing changed about me. If that's something they want to get jealous of me for, well, so be it. I don't think you could. So be it. It doesn't matter to me. All I want to do is stay positive, and that's all that matters, and make them positive back on their lives also. So let me read this real quick. We kept on course with moving the country forward. When we came in year one, we were faced with Hurricane Emma, and we inherited a disastrous economy, Minna said. In year two, we were faced with Dorian, and that's what they say, yeah. And we were going we were faced with COVID-19, so he said a tree were inherited, you know, he said Dorian, Emma. And here we got COVID-19. In other words, we had three challenges. So we had to decide whether you just stop and deal with the catastrophic problems, or are you a true government and run two parallel tracks. One track to deal with the catastrophic problems. That's where you could hire the former Prime Minister, Perry Gladstone Christie, and the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram to assist you, and then you wouldn't have to deal with that problem no more. Because they are international poisons, and I guarantee you, in the hurricane relief effort, poisons around the world know them. They are former prime ministers. They are more known than you, and they could get the job done. Because I know those two guys would have worked. Because they would have feel proud to be working alongside a sitting prime minister, and they have something to do in their spare time. And instead of collecting $150,000 of the year of just doing nothing, maybe these guys would have been able to do something for that $120,000 or $150,000 we give them a year if you did allow them to deal with the catastrophic event, you know? So he said, one track to deal with the catastrophic problems that we face and another track to still move the country forward. We kept on course with moving the country forward. I don't understand how you could keep the country moving forward when the country is on lockdown. There were no travel. There were no jobs. There were nothing happening. In fact, you did a fantastic job because we got a lot of sweethearting exposed. We got a lot of marriages got exposed. We got a lot of domestic dispute got exposed. So I know a lot of husband and wife are not together now because the lockdown, it benefit persons who were in relationship and they had a feeling that their spouse or their boyfriend or girlfriend were cheating because, you know, during the lockdown, there were a lot of calls in from police stating that there were a lot of physical altercation with husband and wife. Some wives are telling the police, my husband want to go out. Why you want to go out? You know, all kind of stuff. Or why, you know, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was just crazy. It was crazy. It was crazy. A lot of stuff got exposed. A lot of marriages got ruined. And the thing is, it wasn't even true. You know, a lot of us are living lies. You know, we are married. You know, and I want people to understand some of this judgment that is happening to us. It's because we cost it on ourselves. Some of us are married. We have good wives. You know, we decide to cheat. Or we have good husbands. And we decide to cheat and cause confusion. And the thing is, in life, you might find one or two persons who really love you and care about you. And I mean really care about you and love you, and they do the world for you. And then, you know what we go and do in return? We take the love for granted. We take advantage of that person, and we hurt that person. Not knowing that person right there is the one who your life would have been built around. The one that when you were sick in the hospital would have been there for you. Who would have taken care of you, take care of your child, that it wasn't even your child and loved the child the same way. You know, when they get paid on Friday, they give you half, you know, and what do? We go and hurt. And then we go and hurt. We become enemies, you know. We destroy the family life, you know. We mess up. And a lot of this punishment we're getting this because we deserve to get it because we know better. And I just want to say this. If you're married, right? You're married. And you have a good wife. You know you have a good wife. Why cheat on her? Why? You sleep every night in your bed with your wife. But this person who you're sneaking around with, you might get a chance once or twice a week. But you can't ever bring her home in your bed. You think because you're doing it undercover that it's not noticed? Your wife feels it. The same way, women, if you have a good boyfriend who goes out there and helps you, you know, and is be there for you, be the same to him, you know. And if someone is married, and ladies, listen to this. You know why a lot of y'all again, y'all judgment, y'all never happy. You wonder why some of y'all will never get married. Some of y'all will never have y'all own house, and et cetera. Do not bother with married people. It's a curse upon you. You know? Do not bother with married people. The same way, if you know a woman is married, and I don't care how beautiful she look, leave her alone. You know, now if she's leaving her husband, and you know she's leaving her husband, and she's serious and committed, and she's leaving her husband, then you may, but I'm saying if she is married, but you know some relations have come to end before you get the divorce, and they done separated, not living in the same house. So you might could have a relationship with that lady, but if she is married, make sure she get divorced. And ladies, same thing. If you know a man is married, respect the other woman. You understand? We causing all this foolishness on us. We getting cursed and getting this punishment, this poverty, because we're not making the right decision. I just wanted to say that, you know, that just came up on my mind just now. You know, we got to learn to respect the person who goes out there and assists us, you know? And that's why a lot of us get out of job. Leave married people alone. You know, if you're talking to somebody and you get married, I don't care how much you like them, end that relationship. Because the person only using you for sex. And in the end, you might end up getting pregnant. They don't want their wife or they don't want their husband to know that they're impregnated. And the child becomes a bastard and becomes a problem for the country a little later on. And that's what's been happening to us over the years. Okay? I just want to say that. You know, respect people, husband, respect people's wives. You know, keep your hands off them. You know, get the curse, you know, that you would inherit because you're not going to live a happy life. It's going to be up and down. It's always going to be rowing, fights, and police calling. You know? Yeah. So, Ali. We can take this last call. We only got 1 minute, caller. You got to make it real quick. We got 1 minute, so you got to be real quick. Go ahead, caller. Yes, sir. Go ahead real quick, sir.
Hey, buddy. I just want to let you know, Scrooge, you're versatile. You speak on many different topics. Keep it up, bro.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much. Yes. And I just want people to respect people's husband, respect their wives, respect the guy's girlfriend, respect other girl's boyfriend, okay? Let's get his curse off of us. We're bigger than that, you know? There are thousands of people out there for one another, millions of people out there for one another. Why go like somebody who's married and you have the whole world out there? You know, you want to destroy someone's marriage, or you want to destroy someone, the married man, we destroy the girl who he is involved with, because she's going to fall in love with him, but he has his wife, and his wife is home. And he don't want to lose everything with his wife. So he's never going to pick you over his wife, okay? And then you're going to be home lonely. Then you're going to get pregnant. Then it's the same way with the man. You know, he's going to bother with someone's wife, you know? And then if he had a bucking husband, you know what's going to happen, right? Parties are going to happen, all right? So let's just stop destroying family, you know? So I hope you enjoy the show. And again, I promise that we lose 3 years to crisis. We lost 3 years to crisis, sir, because you didn't give the former prime minister, Hubert Alexander Ingram, and the former prime minister, Perry Gladstone Christie, to assist you. And we paid them over $120,000 to $150,000 for serving their 2 terms. They are still getting paid pension, so why not let them assist you? And because of that, and because we're moving the poison sort of over the initiative, Ms. Roll, Mr. Jones, Samana Roll, and et cetera, that's why you lost 3 years. So I want to say thanks to Guardian Radio for having me on. I want to say thanks to all the callers that listen and call in today. I just want to know and let everyone know that I'm only here to make a difference and to inspire those who are listening to just make a difference in your community and do something for your brother and sister. And to the Haitian community and the Haitian brothers and sisters out there, we do want you here in the country, but you just have to do things the right way, okay? We just want you to do things the right way so that we don't have this back and forth. And Fred Smith, you are the right in our country. You do good for defending those who has no rights, but at the same time, you are causing division in our country. You need to speak more neutral and be more neutral because you are in the line of a law and you are in the Bahamas. Okay? We don't hate you. We don't hate the prime minister, but we know where we see agenda, and agenda is what we're going to judge you on, just like how the prime minister said we lost 3 years to crisis. We are judging him on not trickling down the economy to the Bahamian people who have been hurting for the last 50 years. And that's why we are fighting for our country. Okay? So we're out of here. So without further ado, I want to say thanks to my producer, Ali Roll, to all the callers and all the listeners. You have a wonderful Friday. And remember what I said, you know, call the police if you see someone dumping cars, trash in your community. And if it's there now, call your MP, call the Ministry of Public Works, and they will assist you to remove abandoned cars and remove houses. You just have to call them, okay, and they would come. So I want to say special good night to everyone, and we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. But I do in the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Not some of us, bigger Minton, bro. Boy, I from Minton, bro. Ghetto. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Minton, bro. Boy, I from Minton, bro.
Minton, I...